A weak solidarity breaking team, Lisa, when we realise how critical it is that we comprehend the all-important terminology of train killing. Thankful that our very, very, very close friend, the leader of the free world, the good guys, the US of the UN, of the US of the world, gets it spot on. And therefore, lovers of liberty, freedom and democracy worldwide get it spot on. Therefore, True Blue Aussie gets it spot on. If evil terrorist Iran sends rockets toward good Zion, which used to be the non-land, non-people terrorist country until the lovers of liberty, freedom and declared it wasn't, said rockets, that is escalation. If evil terrorist Hezbollah sends rockets toward good Zion, that is, come on, let's hear it, escalation. If a non-land, non-people terrorist child, who has managed so far not to be killed, throws a stone at a good Zion train killer who is doing nothing more serious than say, bulldozing her or his home, that child is guilty of escalation. If good Zion bombs, destroys, slaughters in Iran or Lebanon or Gaza or the West Bank or Syria or anywhere in greater Zion from the river to the sea, that is the right to defend itself. Something wise, courageous, independent puppets, leaders like Big Supremo Anthony all being Uzi and the minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, Penny Left Wing and the great mind that is the minister for being offensive and train killing Richard Mauls, the bad guys, well, all of them really, fully understand a whole year of the right to defend itself and no end in sight. Richard, why do these evil terrorist entities keep escalating? They refuse to accept Zion's good Zion's right to defend itself. But Zion keeps bombing them and invading them and destroying their lands and slaughtering their people. Isn't that escalation? There is no comparison. It is defending itself. It's right to defend itself. And okay, it's not often we praise the constabulary, but this week we learned just how much they genuinely care about pro, non-land, non-people terrorist marches, as New South Wales police said they successfully sought a ban on a gathering this weekend out of concern for the safety of the, protesters and, the safety of the community. What caring people, aware of what the non-land, non-people terrorist supporters don't even know themselves, that protesters are a safety risk to protesters, to themselves. And of course, they are. It's obvious when you think about it. They're in danger of being bashed mercilessly by the coppers. On which, now, listener, we have long admired and acknowledged caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer's intelligence, power of thought, like you know. But in the giant mind stakes, Pete almost outdid himself Monday. But a few hours after Sunday's weekly rallies, the usual suspects in hysteria over the odd flag or symbol, and Pete attacked the government with his renowned logic. 16 or so hours later, it had not cancelled visas and deported terrorist supporters. For God's sake, a whole 16 hours, and they hadn't deported anyone. Any wonder Pete was livid. We'd lost control of our borders. And clearly the protesters are all terrorist visa holders, not that Pete would exploit racism because there's not a racist bone in his body. His head? Well, that's a mystery. Although when we think about it, no, not really, just a predictable vacuum. Like, Pete followed up this logic by attacking Big Supremo Anthony after Anthony called for a ceasefire. As a by-the-by, we can imagine the Zion War Room. We have to reconsider our position. Why? A True Blue Aussie has called for a ceasefire. Who? True Blue Aussie. Where's that? I'm pretty sure it's either way down south or next to Germany. Attacked Anthony, calling for a ceasefire, Pete warned, posed a security threat to True Blue Aussie. Let's repeat that intellectual gem. A ceasefire in Gaza and Lebanon is a threat to Troub Lavoisier's security. Apparently, the Zion killing machine, rather than twiddle its lethal thumbs waiting to resume the slaughter and destruction, would say, "I've got a great idea to fill the hiatus. Let's invade Troub Lavoisier," as they go for the world atlas to find out where Troub Lavoisier is. And to show how open-minded we are, having heaped praise on the forces of law and order for attempting to protect long-haired commie wooden worker and iron pro-non-land, non-people activists from themselves, high praise also for one of our very favourite neoliberal economists, Richard Holden Workers Responsible, a regular contributor to the financial media, alerting us to how the greed and sloth of lazy avaricious workers, well, greed and sloth is lazy avaricious, a bit of a tautology, but workers are the biggest threat to the greatest little economic order of them all. Richard has fingered the cause of soaring higher and higher house prices. The answer, he writes, can be found in three letters, EBA. Yes, wages and conditions forced on poor developers, poor real estate practitioners, poor construction giants by the lawless, bullying, evil unions without productivity offsets is the problem. Soaring house prices are down 100% to the workers. Just when we thought it might have had something to do with greed. And the market forces Richard worships. Well, same thing. Silly us. Well, silly me. Maybe you, like Richard, had worked it out, listener. Another ardent devotee of the neoliberal greatest little economic order, former Reserve Losses Bank Supremo Philip Lowe, given his record on interest rates, he should be Philip High. Philip admits he was embarrassed a couple of years ago when he privately briefed Baron Joey, a boutique investment bank, days before the information was made public. Correction, embarrassed, we suggest, because the briefing became public knowledge. He was sprung. Well, good news. Now that Phil has resigned from the Reserve Losses Bank, he has joined the board of, yeah, no prizes for guessing it, the Baron Joey Bank. And he's not even slightly embarrassed. Indeed, like Richard, he's still proffering his invaluable advice like, an increase in government spending and industrial relations changes have added to inflationary risks and delayed interest rate cuts. See? Still caring for all us, the old Phil. If only the workers killing the economy and the poorest of the poor, whooping it up on the crumbs scraped off the table of government largesse, would display the same concern, we'd all be better off. We highlighted the gross criminality of evil unions and workers last week, that wise his honour, with the decision to uphold the application to ban the right to protest, protecting the terrorists calling for peace and an end to killing from themselves, the law certainly had a big couple of weeks. That wise beak fining the mining union a mere $657,000, I reckon they got off lightly, for the heinous crime of calling scabs scabs in a dispute with responsible fossil Glen Rotten to the core. As this week, another worker was killed in a Glen Rotten to the Queensland mine, the third Queensland mine death in a month. Wonder what that penalty will be, if it gets charged at all. After all, the law has more important things to do, like protect the community from people calling for peace and scabs from being called scabs. Although, apart from protecting those calling for peace from themselves, New South Wales has also protected Santos Us the Profits from these bloody protesters who want to stop them expanding their Narrabri gas and pipeline project, dismissing a complaint by the Environment Defenders Office over threatening behaviour on land acquisitions, as if a responsible, community-minded big polluter like Santos Us would threaten anyone. Ruling the threatening behaviour was not threatening behaviour in extending its permit to pollute. Generate jobs and prosperity. And as part of that stampede to prevent the planet frying to death, our state government is contemplating a liquefied natural gas floating terminal smack in the middle of Port Phillip Bay for tankers to deliver imported gas. Terminal. That must apply to Mother Earth. Finally, back where we started, the perfidy of opposing Kane killing, summed up by yesterday's Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin P1, which also gets the terminology spot on. October 7 outrage, anti-Israel protesters refused to cancel disgusting Melbourne rally, then huge hate in our state. See? Pro-peace. Anti-killing and slaughter is anti-Israel. And a year of slaughter and destruction, hundreds of wonderful speeches at rallies, our government shame best summed up by a woman much earlier this year, Penny Wong, and hasn't she been an effing disappointment? Although really, only if naively, we expected something better. Good morning.